What's up, Atlanta? Happy first full padded practice day to you and me and all of Falcons Nation out there. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you for the full four until 10 o'clock tonight. Jason Longshore comes your way then with Atlanta Soccer tonight. I have, let's see, many things to discuss with you on a spicy scorcher of a day here in the great city of Atlanta and the great state of Georgia, fitting for the day of the first fully padded practice at Flowery Branch. We were thumping people, some more than others, and there's one guy that we need to talk about. One man to rule the world, or in this case, one man to rule the practice field at Flowery Branch. And that is rookie sensation. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Sensation.
That's right, Oren. Rookie sensation. And I'm going to explain. James Pierce Jr. This dude's magnetic. This dude is not only popping pads, he's making headlines. He's got everybody talking about him. And I love it. You know why? It's not just because he's a dog. Not that kind of dog. That's Jalen Walker. He's a DOG. But this dude is making his presence known. He is physical. He is aggressive. He sets the tone. He sets the edge, literally and figuratively. I'm going to use that one a lot. You guys are great. You guys, I'm sorry. Let me, at 6:05 on a Tuesday, Oren, going to apologize in advance. I'm going to use that tired joke a lot about how James Pierce Jr. sets the edge literally and literally, you know what I'm saying. He is that guy who sets the tone. And we're seeing that early on in camp. Literally and figuratively is what I was trying to say. But he sets the tone. And he has been a guy ever since he put on the uniform here at the practice field. We've started really talking about him. We know what happened when we drafted him. You move up in the first round. You take him at number 26. And essentially, Terry Fontenot and his staff said, hey, this guy to us is well worthy of the pick of the first round next year where we think we're going to be drafting. We think this dude is a baller. And we think this dude is going to be something special. So well worth it for us to trade back up into the first round and get this dude at a steal at 26. And we were all like, okay. And then that thing about character concerns came out. Does he love football? That gray cloud of a question that if you get tagged with it at the draft, it's almost a guarantee, unless you're like Aaron Donald level talent, that you may drop a little. Because if you get that concern that you don't love the game, this is a hard game to play if you don't love it. So then the practices start. And we hear this dude getting in the face of offensive linemen, getting involved in a couple of scuffles, and here we are. And now everybody's talking about him. I'm going to let you hear from Leonard Floyd, Michael Penix, Raheem Morris. Now everybody's getting asked about this dude. And everybody's starting to talk about this dude. So it made me think, you know, if there's one guy that's going to be the turnkey player for this defense to ignite, the one guy that's going to start that engine, do you think it's going to be James Pierce Jr.? Are you jumping on the bandwagon early? We're taking on all comers here, people. Get on the hype train for James Pierce Jr. I am loving what I'm seeing out of this dude. This dude is a baller with edge. Again, literally and figuratively. This dude brings it. It being the attitude. It being the enforcer mentality. It being the secret sauce this defense simply has not had. As much as we love Grady, and as much as he damn well tried his best every single year, and he was a top five player at his position for a long time, James Pierce Jr. just seems to have this thing that defense, all great defenses need. And I'm not comparing him to these guys, But that's what guys like TJ Watt have. They have it. That's what guys like Myles Garrett have. They have it. Danielle Hunter has it. It's not just the physical tools. It's a presence. It's a persona. You go to practice and watch practice at Cleveland. You don't want to blank around with Myles Garrett. You go to practice in Pittsburgh. You sure, as you know what, don't want to mess around with TJ Watt. Go stand next to Danielle Hunter. That dude is breathing fire out of his snout. Like, those are the types of dudes we saw TJ Watt single-handedly wreck the game in week one for the Steelers against the Falcons last year. Again, I'm not comparing them talent-wise. There's a long way to go for a James Pierce Jr. to get to anywhere near that level. But what I'm saying is the early signs for James Pierce Jr. are showing us that this dude wants it. This dude wants to be that guy. Again, what was the joke we made at the beginning of the show yesterday? The off-the-bus type team. That's what I want the Falcons to be this year. And James Pierce Jr., according to all reports, is setting that tone. That when the Falcons walk off the bus, you're like, oh, we don't want to play those guys. Those guys look mean. Those guys look nasty. Those guys look scary. I don't want to play those dudes. And James Pierce Jr. appears to be that type of player. And that makes me really excited. So let's see. Early returns, Falcons Nation. If you were at Flowery Branch any of the days, did you see that from Pierce? If you're not at Flowery Branch, are you hearing the same things I'm hearing about James Pierce Jr.? Are you as excited as I am about James Pierce Jr.? And most importantly, here's the question. Do you think that as a rookie, he can be that turnkey that ignites the defense? Or do you think it could be somebody else? Who is that guy? Right now, it looks like James Pierce Jr. has a shot as anyone else. We know there are other guys there, though. Jesse Bates is still hanging around. Caden Ellis is still hanging around. Onyemata is still hanging around. A.J. Terrell, those guys are all still there. So if you want to stand for one of those guys, be my guest. Make your case. But right now, what it seems like is that the tone and the tenor of practices are starting to change a little bit. It's getting a little rough and tumble out there. And I love it. Couldn't love it more. Yes, more. Please, more. Make this a tough football team to deal with. Make this the type of football team, when they walk off the bus, you go, oh, no, I do not want to see those guys. 404-726-0929, that's the question of the night. Do you think, based off of what you're hearing at practice so far and the tone that he's setting for himself, that James Pierce Jr., our first round pick from this year, is going to be that dude, is going to be the tone setter? I'm not saying he's going to be the best player on defense. That's not what I'm saying. Is he going to be the turnkey guy? The guy that comes in here, sets the tone, and now the defense has a little bit different of a mentality? Or do you think it's somebody else? Is it Jesse Bates? Is it Caden Ellis? Is it Onyemata? Is it AJ? Is it Rook? Is it one of the guys that are already here? Is it Jalen Walker? I'm a little weird that he's missed the past couple of practices. What's going on there? We'll ask D-Led about that coming up next hour when he joins us and get his perspective on this. Let's hear from Leonard Floyd. He was talking about the fights at practice and how he took James Pierce Jr. under his wing.
Mostly I teach him to, get back settled down once he get rowdy. I try to bring him to the side and help him cool himself down before he get real crazy with it. But he's a good guy, man. He come out and work hard, man. The linemen just don't like it, you know? The guy work hard, linemen don't like it. So that's a good thing.
Great stuff there from the vet, Leonard Floyd. One more cut before we catch a break. Michael Penix Jr. was also asked about James Pierce Jr. And he said, look, this dude can ball. Michael Penix Jr. on James Pierce Jr.
He a baller. Yeah, Ball, he's going to make a lot of plays for us. Excited for him, excited about him. You know, can't wait to see him on Sundays. But, you know, he's been making a lot of plays. I know I seen all on the media he was the one that started the scuffles. Usually I don't see it. I just turn around and there'd be a whole bunch going on. But, man, he bring intensity every day, you know. But he's a great player.
All right, so you just heard from a vet and from QB1. What do you guys think? Can James Pierce Jr., as a rookie, be the catalyst for this Atlanta Falcons defense this season? Or do you think it's going to come from somewhere else? You think it's going to come from one of the vets? Or is this rookie going to come in here? You just heard what Michael Penix Jr. and Leonard Floyd had to say about him. Is he going to come here and make an instant impact as a first-round pick this season? What do you think? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We'll get your take on that. James Pierce Jr. and his impact is the topic of conversation tonight on Chris Thomas Tonight. Turtle with you till 10 o'clock each and every weeknight. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, of course, on the Odyssey app. Poll is up at CT Tonight. 929, that is the show Twitter page. Please give it a follow if you have not already. Appreciate everybody who has already done so. Again, at CT Tonight, 929, that is the new show page where everything will be posted every night, including our polls, which is, will James Pierce Jr. be the defensive catalyst for the Falcons this season? Yes, he will set the tone, or no, it will be someone else. And that is also what we are talking about on the phones at 404-726-0929. If you don't think it's going to be him, who do you think it's going to be? I think there's a lot of good options that we have. But it appears, based off of what Penix is saying, Coach Ra, Leonard Floyd, everybody else that's been covering camp, Les D-Led, Next Hour, seems like this kid came in to make some noise and be a disruptor and set the tone and be a guy that can be a catalyst for a defense that desperately needs it. So what do you think? 404-726-0929 is the number. We'll start with Sam. Sam, what do you think?
Yeah, Turtle, I'm going to answer your question in two parts. The first one is, do I think he will be the catalyst for this defense? So, yeah, we've got Jesse Bates, the best safety in Ball. We got A.J. Terrell. We got Caden Ellis. We got Leonard Floyd, those guys. But the key to having a good defense is, of course, having a good pass rush. And if there's going to be a rookie that I think is the catalyst, I still think it will be Jalen Walker. But I will say, I am much more excited about James Pierce than I was initially, just from what I'm hearing. Because I feel like, yeah, we've had good players over the years. We've had Grady. We've got AJ and Jesse now. We've got Caden now. We've had guys before that, like, you know, John Abraham. But what we've lacked for so many years is a guy who's a straight up a-hole on our defense. And think about it. We're in the bends. We've got a late lead, one score game against Tampa or New Orleans or whoever we're playing. Late in the game, they're playing Archie Eversole. We ready. And I want that guy getting after the quarterback with the game on the line. So I'm a lot more excited, but I still think if there's going to be a rookie that makes an impact or is the catalyst, I still think it'll be Jalen Walker due to his versatility.
Yes, Sam. Great stuff, man. Good way to start it out at 404-726-0929. Appreciate the perspective. I think Jalen Walker is going to have an instant impact too. He's got to get back on the practice field. I don't know what's going on with him right now. But in terms of just a straight dog, I really think Pierce has a good chance to be that guy. Jalen Walker is going to be a guy who starts off the season playing off the edge as well, but as he progresses, he's going to start doing more things. He's going to start showcasing that versatility that made him the 15th overall pick in the draft. Let's go to Wayne. Wayne, you're up next. What do you think? Wayne going once, going twice, and he gone. 404-726-0929. Charles is up next. Charles, what do you think?
Hey, man, how y'all doing?
What's up, Charles?
I think he brings intensity that we haven't had before. I'm talking about Pierce. And I love the intensity. But I also agree with the other caller. I think Walker, over the whole season, may bring more of an impact. The only thing that kind of makes me concerned about Pierce is, okay, we've had, what, 3-4 practices, something like that, and he's done lost his cool. We can't afford for him to lose his cool in the game and cause a penalty that could cost us the game. I'm hoping he can pull it back. I want the intensity, but also I hope he doesn't cross the line and create a bad situation.
No, and I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in. 404-726-0929. It was funny because the Falcons actually addressed that. They said, we'd rather have a guy that we need to pull back the reins on than a guy that we need to encourage to step it up. So that tells you their mentality right now. I totally understand about, you know, not wanting costly penalties and all that, but that comes with maturity. That comes with time, Charles. And I appreciate your preventative nature of thinking, but at this point with the Falcons defense, like, just go. Like, just go get them, baby. Like, we have not had that here. Should I say the famous line, Warren? Since John Abraham. I mean, that's really what it – and 1 year of Vic Beasley. Yeah, I know. I get it. So if you have a guy that's going to be that guy, don't muzzle him, so to speak. Let him go. Free him. 404-726-0929. Cody's up next. Cody.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Yo.
For me, dude, it's just practice. You know what I mean? I'm getting a lot of hype and everything, but that's what we do in the preseason. As Falcons fans, I think we've kind of come to keep our emotions at bay until week one starts, and we'll see what they do in an actual game situation. You know, I'm really hoping that he turns it around, but Terry's drafting on the defensive side has not been great in his regime here. So, you know, he does come with the intensity. He is, you know, talking that crap. But at the same time, man, he's
Cody,
just going against
his
own teammate.
That's fine, and I totally understand the reservation. I get it 1,000%. But when was the last time you heard this about somebody?
Yeah, every offseason, man. It's always somebody we're getting hype about, and then they come out week
not
one.
Not in this way. Who? I mean, maybe, what? Are you going to reference Tack? Is that who you're going to reference that didn't work out? That I get it, but
I mean, you know, when Terrell got his contract, when we got Jesse Bates, well, Jesse Bates has been balling. I think he's going to be the guy to do it, not a rookie for us. I mean, I really do. I put up my Grady Jarrett jersey this season, and I ordered the Jesse Bates jersey, the number 3. So I think he's going to do it. He's a real leader on our defense, man. But I want to see it all come together in a game situation, really. I know it's early. We want to be hyped for the season, and I am. But I want to see what they do on the field in a real game situation before I can really give my fair assessment of them.
No, that's totally fine. 404-726-0929. And I get it. It's measured, it's nuanced, and, it's a completely fair take. But Oren, you've been here a lot longer than I have. When was the last time you remember a guy coming into camp and setting this kind of tone early, especially as a first round pick and really being the physical presence that sort of captured the main story? He's become the talk of camp right now.
I can't, because we haven't taken a pass rusher this high in a very long time. There was a little buzz when we got the guy from Auburn a couple years ago.
Yeah, Tack McKinley.
No, not Tack. Tack was UCLA. The guy, the defensive lineman from Auburn, his name is escaping me right now, but he came in, he talked about how he liked playing football because it was like free violence, basically. You go out there, you can beat up people, and you don't get arrested for it. And everybody's like, oh, man, we got a buzz.
Oh, Marlon Davidson?
Marlon Davidson, yeah. Marlon Davidson. Everybody was like, oh, Marlon. I don't think Marlon had the same kind of buzz because, then again, we didn't see him go out there those first couple of days of camp either and do what James Pierce Jr. See, that's what it is right now, too. It's the buzz backed up with his play out there. When Tack first got here, I think Tack had like a foot injury or something. So Tack had to be brought along slowly in camp. So it's, to answer your question, no, because it's what we're hearing about him on the field coupled with his activity on the field, I guess, him going out there and starting fights and, you know, getting into it, not being afraid to mix it up with the veterans.
Right. It's not just that he's talking ish. It's that he's playing really well.
He's playing really, really well, too. So I can't recall anybody that we've had draft-wise on the defensive line in recent years where we've been like, oh, all right, well, he's turning some heads.
Now, to Cody's point, yes, the team gets hyped up every year. but not the way this individual player is being hyped up. Let's go to Martin. Martin, you're up next.
Hey, what's happening, Turtle?
Yo.
Man, I think I'm like the last guy. Y'all need to pump the brakes. And I'm glad that you brought up Pat McKinley and Vic Beasley, a bunch of other guys who they hyped up who turned out to be hot garbage. But, I mean, dude, just make sure that, let the dudes play. Let them go up against an all-pro front offensive line. And then let's see how tough these guys are. But other than that, this is just hype. Like my boy Flavor Flav said, don't believe the hype.
But it's not just hype from the sense of people are just making it up out of thin air. They're watching him do it in practice, Martin. They're watching it themselves with their own eyes.
Against who?
Against the starting Falcons offensive line.
And I'm sorry. That we're the all pros on that line.
Chris Lindstrom is the best guard in the NFL.
Oh, okay. And
Jake Matthews has been a good tackle for 10 years.
Let me tell you something. Dude, Jake Matthews has been serviceable for 10 years. As a matter of fact, he's the guy that you shouldn't have picked, and you should have got Aaron Donald.
All right, but Martin, I appreciate the call. You can't go back and legislate something from a decade ago.
Here's the thing, though. If James Pierce Jr. was out there getting dominated by those guys, wouldn't the inverse conversation we'd be having right now? Oh, he's getting dominated by Jake Matthews. He's getting dominated by Caleb McGarry.
He's getting rooked out there.
He's
like,
getting beat by these sorry offensive linemen. So you can't have it both ways with that argument. If James Pierce, he's out there doing what he's supposed to be doing. If he's better than those offensive linemen, then he's doing what he's supposed to be doing right now, which is succeeding.
And to knock Lindstrom like that is not that is completely unfair. He's literally the best at his position in the NFL. Like, come on. Like, again, if you're going to come and, you know, play the other side, that's fine, but I need facts. Like, I get it, Martin, and call back anytime at 404-726-0929. I love the passion, but, you know, if you're going to say that the Falcons' offensive line is garbage, you can't do it off the backs of saying that Chris Lindstrom isn't who he is, because that's just who he is. He's the best in the league at what he does. Literally. I mean, that's not hyperbole. He is the best guard in the NFL. 404-726-0929. All right, we'll shift gears here for just a second. Going to talk some NBA with our buddy Caleb Johnson, who's back after a couple weeks off. Oren, have you seen what Luka Doncic looks like? Oh, my goodness.
The lack of Luka now.
Yeah, seriously. He's no longer Luka Don Thick, I'll tell you that. He is on the cover of Men's Health magazine.
Luka Don Chic.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk with Caleb about that, the Hawks offseason, and a whole lot more. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. So Ledbetter coming up at 7:40, about an hour from now, so don't go anywhere. A jammed show coming up for you on a Tuesday. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. Right now, though, we got to switch gears for just a minute, talk some NBA and offseason hoops and a little Hawks as well, of course, with our Hawks insider, Caleb Johnson, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Make sure you check out his new podcast as well. Caleb, let's start here. Luka Doncic, obviously, has taken the NBA world by storm, appearing on the cover of Men's Health magazine. Maybe a giant middle finger to the Dallas Mavericks organization for everything that happened there. What do you make of his transformation and ultimately what that could mean on the court?
It's going to be really, really interesting. And I think simply because you're now going to have two different directions of where you could take this. Was this the direction that Luka was always going to go because he was working his way back from injury? Or is this the route that Luka took because he wants revenge on Nico Harrison and the Dallas Mavericks? So I don't know that we'll ever truly get the full picture of which direction it was really going as to whether Luka could have done this in Dallas. And if people might forget that actually Dallas has gone through a complete retooling of their health department, of their kind of their strength and training and all of that, because they had people overseeing as doctors who were not certified in the NBA. It was actually something that when Nico Harrison hired these guys, he was working on them getting their certification and wanted to go with a different style of philosophy on how they do their strength and training, on how they do their rehab and all this sort of stuff. And the guy that they had leading it all was, to my understanding, a chiropractor. So not exactly the type of medical doctor that you would want running the show. And he was kind of one of these media personalities who would flip this into an NBA career of managing an NBA team. Well, you had Luka get hurt. You had Daniel Gafford get hurt. You had Kyrie Irving get hurt for the Mavericks. And then there was all these investigations by, you know, independent journalists of looking into the Mavs, kind of their whole health department, and it unveiled of, oh, you've got someone running this whole thing who isn't even NBA certified as they're supposed to be. It's one of those that are going to be working on it. They didn't agree with Luka and his doctors, and obviously this has all led to, you know, Luka being an L.A. Laker and how this is all going to turn out. But I got to say, just from the photos alone, he looks in great shape. Now, he doesn't have a 42-inch vertical, as the Men's Health article put out, and then they've had to retract it because it's come to a lot of people's attention that apparently the guy who wrote this Men's Health article, he might have used a little lazy ChatGPT or Google AI to look up information, because Luka never participated in the combine in the NBA in 2018 when he was coming into the league, because he was playing with Real Madrid. So some of that info was wrong, but the reality is that Luka is primed and ready to be a star in this league, and it's certainly going to be interesting to see how he, alongside, of course, LeBron James, makes that all work in the West.
Yeah, and with that said, they add DeAndre Ayton, Marcus Smart, a couple of other moves that I think a lot of people like. Where do you have them stacked up in the West right now in the offseason?
You know, it's really tough for me because I don't actually think that DeAndre Ayton is going to work out too particularly well in the West, or just with the Lakers in general. But for the Lakers to be competitive in the West, I think he has been someone that every team that has had him goes, well, surely we can fix him. And then you kind of realize, oh, maybe this guy just doesn't love basketball that much and it can't be fixed. And so I guess if anyone can get things right, having LeBron James kind of being the guy, the veteran in the room, the person to hold you accountable, if you're obviously a young athlete who grew up with LeBron being one of your favorite players or just an icon of the game, maybe that gets you right rather than the previous stops of, you know, Phoenix kind of being its own interesting situation. And then Portland, I think, was just a free-for-all, and DeAndre could do whatever he wants. So maybe there's some veteran leadership that gets him in check, but I just don't have a lot of faith for him. And so with that, I think L.A. is still missing some pieces that puts this as a true contending team. Are they going to be in a similar spot that they were last year? I think so. As far as if LeBron stays healthy, Luka stays healthy, if they're a top four team in the West regular season, then I think, you know, that would be probably pretty standard for where I put them, just because I have a hard time believing that they're not better than the Thunder. They're not better than especially this new version of the Houston Rockets. I don't think they're better necessarily than the Denver Nuggets. I think the Nuggets matchup-wise present a bit of an issue for them. And so if you know, kind of bounce back between what you think of Minnesota with Anthony Edwards, what do you think of this retooling of the Clippers that I'm not entirely sold on? It's certainly, they're going to be competitive. Do they make a Western Conference Finals next year? I don't think so, but second round certainly seems like that's, you know, realistic for them.
You mentioned the Clippers there, Chris Paul reintroduced back in L.A. I mean, if this, again, I keep joking, Caleb, if this was 10, 12 years ago, you'd have an all-pro, all-NBA team here assembled with the Clippers. But right now, kind of seems like a lot of square pegs and round holes.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting. Our old buddy John Collins is amongst the mix as well. As he's going to be a starter at that four spot for them. So, you know, you've got the veteran and Chris Paul joining the James Harden, the Bradley Beal. I've never been sold on Bradley Beal. It's funny. There was a time in which I was so desperate for the Hawks to add anyone to Trae Young that it was like, sure, the Hawks can make Bradley Beal work. But, like, clearly he has been someone that the injuries have been way too much for him to be a realistic part of building a championship-contending team. So, of course, add that to the Clippers, who don't have enough injury problems with Kawhi Leonard and James Harden. With you know, Kawhi out there and Bradley Beal, adding to James Harden, to Chris Paul, and like I said, with John Collins being amongst the mix, like, they're going to be a really interesting team that I do think they're going to be the ones who, regular season wise, kind of jump towards the top, being in that second or third spot with Houston. If Minnesota can get up there, certainly the Lakers will be amongst that mix as well. I think they're going to be far more interesting as a regular season team than I think they will be come playoff time, just because all of these guys' bodies fall apart. You know, I mean, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, especially those two guys, when it reaches the playoff time, Chris Paul is certainly a part of that as well. Like, they break down because they're an older group. But certainly, as far as, like, the memories that will come from having this core group together, it will be fun, and it'll be plenty of stars in L.A.
We'll switch our coverage to dogs here coming up in just a couple of weeks. But while we're still focusing on the embers of the last season and looking ahead towards the offseason and next season, simply put, Caleb, what do you think of the Hawks roster right now as it stands? Does it look like a complete roster to you?
Complete enough. Like, they are still one piece away, which feels kind of, you know, difficult when you're building out your roster and saying, okay, well, what would you truly switch out? I think if I felt more comfortable about Zachary Risacher being the person that I think he's going to be two seasons from now, I don't necessarily think they would be one piece away. But I do think right now, having Trey, having Dyson, having Jalen come back with Zachary Risacher, who, talk about Luka Doncic's photos. I mean, the photos coming out of Zach in France in year two, I mean, dude looks incredibly cut. Like, he has put on some true muscle like he needed to. But I think the development just takes time. Adding that, though, with Porzingis and kind of putting this collection, I do believe that this is a top four team in the East. And it feels like that's not that hot takey. I feel like every NBA analyst that's talked about this team has high expectations for the Hawks, simply because it's like, oh, you did a bunch of things in, you know, Auncie that made a lot of sense, that built a more complete roster around Trae Young. I think the biggest question mark is there going to be enough offense apart from Trae that you can stay competitive? Because I do think they fixed the defensive problems that this team has had, and another year of Dyson getting older, and like I said, with Zach, with Jalen being healthy, like, the defense, I think, is going to be a really strong suit of this team. So they'll be able to compete with the Cavs, with the Pacers. Boston's going to fall down. I saw their roster the other day of their expected starting five, and it is really, really sad. And so with that, I don't think Detroit is going away. Orlando is certainly going to be in the mix. And so the East isn't just going to lay down for the Hawks to take it over. But certainly top four in the East is very realistic. My bigger thing for this team is you got to make it to the second round of the playoffs. Like, you've done too much to build a roster that I feel like Quinn Snyder and Trey, as the leader of this team, you've got to be able to put this collection together to win a playoff series, get into the second round, and then from there, let whatever happens. But I think that's the that's the sign of showing progress, of going from that team that is, you know, fighting in the play-in every year. This roster, just on paper, is too good for you to not be a playoff team. And I think in the East, a playoff team that reaches the second round, you just can't be fighting for a playoff spot and then it'd be enough for you to make it into the first round. Like there is enough talent, as young as they are, there's enough talent right now for them to be competitive. And now it's kind of fun because, Chris, it gets to shift for us to having realistic expectations, I think, heading into the season.
Wrapping up our conversation with our Hawks insider and soon to be our Bulldogs representative here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Looking forward to talking some dogs in the coming weeks with Caleb Johnson. Make sure you give him a follow at ATLJohnson18 and check out the new podcast covering the Hawks as well. Before I let you go, Caleb, when do you think we'll get our next update on contract talks with Trey?
Yeah, so I found it very funny. The last time I talked to Anzi, it's been like, what, a month ago, I believe, after the draft, and he had an availability, and I was very upfront with him, and I said, hey, kind of what are your expectations of is it important to you to get a deal done this off season for Trey? And Anzi pulled the, hey, I come from the Spurs and the Warriors organizations. We don't talk about contracts. So what I have to go off of is the people that I reach out to who are hearing things and then other people who are putting reports out, which is to say everything that I've heard is both sides want to reach an extension this offseason and the Hawks don't have any interest in giving Trey the max. And I don't think that's that crazy. I'm sure that Trey's camp is certainly expecting the max because, well, he wants to make as much money as he possibly can. I think they will meet towards a fair number for Trey that keeps him in that star status amongst the league. I don't think that Trey is going to cut the Hawks any sort of super team-friendly deal, but is he going to knock a few bucks off because he sees what they're building right now? And wants to stick around long term, yeah, I think they're going to come to some sort of an agreement before they head into training camp. But will it probably be like 2 weeks or a week before training camp? Yeah, it's probably closer to the timeline that I realistically expect something like that to get done.
Caleb, appreciate the time as always. We'll chat again next week.
Yes, sir. Ready to talk some dogs soon.
Yeah, man. I can't wait for that. That will be here before we know it. All right, coming up next, we'll get some NFL true and false questions coming up with our buddy Big O. I love this song, Oren. I don't know if you know that. Miss Murder by AFI. This is a great throwback sort of punk rock era tune. This is a really, really good one. When we come back, we'll do some NFL true and false questions. We'll let you hear from Terry Fontenot. D-Led's going to join us. What a 7 o'clock hour on the way. Don't miss it. Chris Thomas tonight.